It's time for light that darkness can't defeat. It's time to escape from the shadow of death and into abundant life. For the people living in darkness have seen a great light, and those living in the shadow of death, a light has dawned. Welcome to the Great Light Program with David Oyedepo Jr. Get set to arise and shine, because your light has come.
Unveiling your glorious destiny in life. We came to understand fundamentally from scriptures that the word of God is a spiritual mirror from where we discover who we are, we discover what we have, we discover our mission and what we can do. The word of God is a spiritual mirror from where we discover who we are, we discover what we have, we discover our mission, and we discover what we can do. In James chapter 1, verse 22, verse 21 down to verse 25, the Bible makes us to understand. It said, he that hears and does not do is like one who beholds himself in a natural mirror. He said, and straight away forgets what manner of man he is. He said, but he that looks into the law of liberty, speaking of the word of God, he said, him not being a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, that man shall be blessed in his deeds. So God's word is unveiled to us as a spiritual mirror. In 2 Corinthians 3 verse 18, the Bible said, we all with open face, we behold him as in a glass. He said, we are changed into the same image from glory to glory as by the Spirit of the Lord. So God's word is a spiritual mirror. It is a discovery of our picture from the mirror of the word that positions us to actualize our glorious destiny. Remember, as far as you can see is what will be given unto you. Genesis 13 verse 14 and verse 15. So we must begin to see clearly from scriptures what has been provided for us by redemption, who we are in Christ, what we have, our mission, and what we can do. And that's what we're exploring all through this great month of July. And this morning we are going to look in particular at this very important discovery from scriptures, that we are redeemed a blessing to our world and not a burden. Say with me, I'm redeemed a blessing to my world and not a burden. One more time, I'm redeemed a blessing to my world and not a burden. In Galatians chapter 3 verse 13 and 14, the Bible says, it said, Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. For it is written, curse is everyone that hangs upon the tree, that the blessing of Abraham may come upon the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, that we may receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. The blessing of Abraham coming upon us. Now, what is that blessing? In Genesis chapter 22, verse 16 down to verse 18, this was where God conferred that blessing on him. He said, by myself have I sworn. He said, for because you have done this thing and not withheld your son, your only son, he said that in blessing I will bless you. In multiplying, I will multiply thy seeds as the stars of heaven and as the sand which is upon the seashore. And thy seed shall possess the gates of thy enemies. And look at verse 18. And in thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed. So it means that if the blessing of Abraham has come upon us by redemption, then in us also, the families and the nations of the earth are ordained to be blessed. So we are not ordained or redeemed as a burden, but we are redeemed as blessings. In the book of Galatians chapter 3 and verse 29, the Bible makes us to understand. It says, and if ye be Christ, then you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. If you are Christ's, if you belong to Christ, if you are in Christ, if you have received Christ, then you are Abraham's seed. And what did the Bible say about Abraham's seed? Go back to Genesis 22 and verse 18. It said, and in thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed. So it means, therefore, that everyone that is a seed of Abraham, a child of God, that belongs to Jesus Christ, is ordained as a blessing to the nations of the world. Somebody believe it, say louder, amen.
I said, somebody believe it. You say louder, amen.
Amen.
What does this mean in detail? Number one, it means that you are redeemed to enjoy abundant life. Say with me, I'm redeemed to enjoy abundant life. Come on, say with confidence, I am redeemed to enjoy abundant life. In John chapter 10, verse 10, he said, the thief comes not but to steal, to kill, and to destroy. He said, but I'm come that you may have life and have it more abundantly. So God says, Jesus came for our rescue in order to have us enjoy life and enjoy it to the full, to enjoy abundant life. So you are not redeemed to endure life. You are redeemed to enjoy life. In 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 17 down to verse 19, this is what the Bible says. Charge them that are rich, that they be not high-minded, not trusting on certain riches, but in the living God, who gives us all things, what? Richly to enjoy. So God has packaged us in redemption for the enjoyment of life, not to endure it. Shout hallelujah. This is very important. So by redemption, we are ordained to enjoy abundant life. Number two, we discover that we are redeemed to have all sufficiency in all things. All sufficiency in all things. In 2 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 8, he said, and God is able to make all grace abound towards you, that you always, having all sufficiency in all things, may abound unto every good work. All sufficiency. It means nothing is deficient. Nothing is permitted to finish. Continuous flow. Continuous flow. That is what somebody will continue to enjoy from today. That's what made Paul to say in the book of Philippians chapter 4 and verse 19. He said, my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory. All grace abounding towards you so that you have all sufficiency at all times. I see that becoming somebody's portion here. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Somebody believe it, say loud, amen. Number three, it means to be a blessing to the dying world around us. We are redeemed to be a blessing to the dying world around us. We are redeemed to be a blessing to the dying world around us. In 1 Timothy chapter 6, from verse 17 to 19, we saw verse 17 earlier. He said he has given us all richly all things to enjoy. But look at verse 18 and verse 19. He said that they do good and that they be rich in good works, ready to distribute, willing to communicate. He said, laying up in store for themselves a good foundation against the time to come, that they may lay hold on eternal life. What is he saying, therefore? He has given us all things to enjoy, but also to ensure that we are a blessing to the world around us, willing to distribute and to communicate. So according to scriptures, we are redeemed to be a blessing to the dying world around us. It doesn't matter how we came to Christ. What matters is what we have become in Christ. We may have come to Christ being counted among those who were part of the dying world, those who were afflicted, those who were depleted, those who were suffering deficiency. But the Bible says that when a man is in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things have passed away. Old experiences have passed away. Old identities have passed away. Old ways of living have passed away. And behold, all things have now become new. That means for everyone that is in Christ, we are ordained to be a blessing to the dying world around us. Somebody believe it, say loud, amen.
Amen.
Number four, what does this mean? It means that we are redeemed to promote the kingdom of God. We are redeemed to promote the kingdom of God. We are simply here trying to put description to what it means to be a blessing to our world. We are redeemed to promote the kingdom of God. Zechariah chapter 1 and verse 17. My cities through prosperity shall yet be spread abroad. We are redeemed to promote the kingdom of God with our resources. In Haggai chapter 1 verse 3 down to verse 13, we see this episode here. And the scripture tells us there, it said, as the word of the Lord came to Haggai, he said, speak to the people
and let them know. He said, my house lies in waste and all of you dwell in your sealed houses. He said, that is why you took out much but brought in little. He said, that is why you put your money in pocket and there were holes in them. He said, that is why the heaven over you was closed and the ground became like brass. Everything turned to hardship because they didn't recognize the purpose for their blessing was for the advancement of the kingdom of God. We must recognize that God blesses us as the redeemed to see to the advancement of his kingdom. And as we do so, I see each one of us enjoying greater realms of blessing in the name of Jesus. Now, what are the biblical keys to supernatural blessing? What are the biblical keys to supernatural blessing? In Deuteronomy chapter 8 and verse 18, the Bible said, you shall remember the Lord your God, for it is he that giveth thee power to get wealth, that he may establish his covenant, which he sware unto thy fathers, as it is this day. So according to scriptures, we see clearly that it is the establishment of the covenant that gives us empowerment for wealth. The question now is, what really is that covenant? What is the covenant established with the fathers? You remember that God at a point destroyed the entire earth and only one family was left, saved by the ark, and that was Noah and his household. And then we see God establish with man the very first covenant. And the scripture tells us in Genesis chapter 8 and verse 22, he said, as long as the earth remains from this time, he said, seed time and harvest, cold and heat, summer and winter, day and night shall not cease. God established this covenant with man as long as the earth remains. And the Bible makes us to understand in 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 6 and verse 7, that among the seed recognized in scriptures is the sowing of our resources. He said, but this I say, he which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly. He which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. Look at verse 7. Every man as he proposes in his heart, so let him give. So what we give is counted by God as what we sow. And according to the covenant of God, every time there is a seed planted, there is a harvest that must answer. So the covenant of seed time and harvest is the foundational key for us standing in the blessing that God has ordained for us in redemption. You and I can both agree that no matter how fertile a soil is, until a seed is planted, that soil will bring no profit. What God has done for us in redemption is to bring about a fertile soil for the productivity of our lives. But we must begin to plant our seed there in order to see the profit answer for us. And those seeds begin, first of all, with the covenant of tithing. According to scriptures, he said, as you tithe, he opens the windows of heaven and pours out a blessing. So we discover that the tithe is the foundation of our giving. We have also given to the needy. We have given our worship offerings, given to parents, given for the advancement of the kingdom. All of these are avenues of expression of seed sowing that provoke for us a platform for our supernatural prosperity. My prayer for each one of us is that as we begin to engage in all of these avenues, I see the blessing of God answering supernaturally for each one in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. So the first key is covenant practice, like we can see. Covenant practice. That is the first key to enjoying the blessing ordained for us by redemption. Number two key is delightsome obedience to scriptural or divine instruction. Delightsome obedience. In Deuteronomy chapter 28 verse 1, he said, if you hearken diligently to the voice of the Lord your God, to observe and to do all his commandments, which I command thee this day, that the Lord thy God will set thee on high above all nations of the earth. All of these liftings and turnaround was all the product of obedience. In verse 2, he said, and this blessing shall come upon thee and overtake thee. Why? Simply taking heed to the instructions given by God. Please hear this. Every instruction of God is for a change of level. Every instruction of God is for a change of position.
We have just heard the inauguration of this great move of God, Operation Prayer for Life. It is another opportunity for a change of level. You see, every time God gives an instruction, He's giving an opportunity. Because the opportunities of God come in form of instructions from God. Every time God is giving an instruction, it's not because He cannot do what He's asking you to do. He can do it without your assistance. But He's simply saying, I'm giving you an opportunity. You take the opportunity and I change your level. Shout hallelujah. I said shout hallelujah. Remember, the Bible says in Isaiah chapter 1 verse 19, if you are willing and obedient, He said you shall eat the good of the land. Job chapter 36 and verse 11, He said if they obey and serve me, they will spend their days in prosperity and their years in pleasure. There is prosperity in obedience. There is pleasure in obedience. And I pray that for each one of us, a renewed grace for obedience comes upon our lives in the name of Jesus Christ. And number three key for supernatural blessings is living to promote the interest of the kingdom of God on the earth. Living to promote the interest of the kingdom of God on the earth. Zechariah chapter 1 verse 17, my city's true prosperity shall yet be spread abroad. You take interest in the advancement of the kingdom of God with your resources among others. You bring about a greater realm of prosperity upon your life. Shout hallelujah. I said shout hallelujah. I said shout hallelujah. This is so important. As you take advantage of it, you see things turning around for you. I remember I met somebody some time ago recently out there on the harvest field, and he shared his testimony with me, very outstanding. He said, Pastor, he said, I began to take a bus to carry new converts from my zone free of charge every week from my zone to church. And as I began to do that, I said, God began to change my level. He said, within the same year, I found myself buying two new cars. He said, I don't know how it happened, but God just began to change my level. He said, as He was changing my level, I started adding to the boss. He gave me one first, I added it and made it two. He gave me two, I added it and made it three. He said, simply by just obeying, I cannot explain it, but God began to change my level. He said to me, Pastor, why others are complaining of recession? For me, things are going forward. You must recognize that every time you see a kingdom advancement opportunity, it is simply a platform for your change of level. As we take advantage of it, I see God changing our level supernaturally. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, today is our covenant day of settlement. And we must understand from scriptures the covenant requirements for supernatural settlement. What is required if you and I will enjoy settlement as ordained by God? We must first understand that for you to enjoy settlement, your faith must be in place in God and in His way. It says in the book of Hebrews chapter 4 verse 9 down to verse 12. It tells us there, He said, there remains a rest, a settlement for the people of God. But the pathway to enter into it is the pathway of faith. Without faith, you cannot stand in this settlement plan of God. Faith in God and faith in His way, the things that He has shown us as His pattern to enjoy that settlement. And we are going to look at the pathway to this settlement that God has ordained for us quickly from His word. Number one, if you will be settled by God, you must be born again if you are going to be truly settled. You must be born again. One must be born again to be truly settled by God. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 21, the Bible makes us to understand there. It said, He has made Him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. And what is the effect of being made the righteousness of God in Him? Isaiah chapter 32 and verse 17, the Bible said, and the work of righteousness shall be peace. So by being made the righteousness of God in Christ by salvation, you are entitled to supernatural peace. Look at what the Bible says in Romans chapter 5 and verse 1. It said, therefore, being justified by faith in Christ, that's towards salvation, we now have peace with God. So our peace is secured by salvation. Anytime a man becomes born again, he secures for himself supernatural peace. I've heard God's servant, our father, say many times, he said, one of the acid or the litmus test for salvation is the presence of true peace. The presence of true peace. There are many churchgoers that don't have peace. You see, salvation is not equal simply to church attendance. It is receiving into your heart the Prince of Peace. And you can't be carrying the Prince of Peace and be troubled in your heart. Jesus said it this way. He said, let not your heart be troubled. He said, be of good cheer. No matter how much tribulation is around, I have overcome the world. That is why the Bible says, greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. No matter what you are facing, it is more what you are carrying gives you peace. It doesn't matter what you are confronted with. If you know what you are carrying by salvation, you will always have peace. Shout hallelujah. I said shout hallelujah. I said shout hallelujah. This is very important. So we must recognize that by salvation, you and I are candidates of the peace of God, because we now carry the Prince of Peace who has made us righteousness in him. And by reason of that, the work of righteousness is peace, and that justification has given us peace with God. Shout hallelujah. Number two, one must return to settle with God. One must return to settle with God if you want to enjoy peace. Malachi chapter 3 verse 7 and verse 8, the Bible makes it clear to us. It says that even from the days of your fathers, he said that you are gone away from my ordinances, that you have not kept them. Return unto me and I will return unto you. Return unto me. So we must return from wherever it is that we have gone off course. Return. That's the way to enjoy peace. Return. Any dimension of life where it looks as if peace is lacking, there is a returning that is required. A returning that is required. We have heard the testimony of J.C. Penney, a tither who was taught by his mother somewhere along the line. He thought, oh, this tithe is too much, and began to withdraw it. And somehow financial peace disappeared.